Travel Saturday with Sarah and Ed. With destination Cleveland, Ohio. World-class experiences without the world-class ego. Unapologetic, unstoppable, unafraid. With direct flights from Dublin to Cleveland. Learn more at thisiscleveland.com.
Sarah Slattery, the travel expert, and Ed Finn, Ed Finn Travels, are back in studio. Hello.
Hello, Sailor.
Hi,
hello. So we're talking all about cruising today, something that I've never done.
Oh my goodness.
I have friends who... Stop laughing. Stop laughing, Ed. I have friends...
I thought you'd be a real cruiser now.
I knew he was going to go down this road, Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, we should have just got you in on your own for this one.
Have you done a ferry? Yeah, have you been on a ferry or anything? Have you done any of the ferries?
He's gone to Holyhead, yeah. Anyway, we're talking about cruises today. I do have friends, however, who are mad into the cruising. Mm. And it's all they'll do now these days.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, you're really into it. And Ed, you're not as into it.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
Okay, let me say, yeah, I mean, I'm not averse to it, but I'm not as big. Sarah loves them because she loves food and she loves great value.
That makes me sound lovely.
Sorry, and you love attractions and theatre and entertainment. Go on, sorry, Sarah.
No, I do. I look, you know, I'm not, when I say I love them, I mean, it's not something I live and die, I have to do all the time. But I do think they're great value. I do think there's a lot of misconceptions out there. I do think there's a cruise for everyone. I mean, there's lots of cruises I would run a mile from. I wouldn't go near. Mm. You know, so they're not all, not every cruise is going to be great.
Because
so
it used to be a case, Sarah, wasn't it? That it was like, if you went on a cruise, it was for retired people. It was for the older generation, really.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that has changed massively now, in fairness, because, I mean, the big ships now, like Icon of the Seas, the Quantum of the Seas. I mean, I was on a few of those when they launched them. They have the biggest water slide in the world. I mean, you know, so you can see that that wouldn't necessarily be for the retired market. It would be very much for kids. So massive, like, theme parks. I mean, interactive robots serving you cocktails. They're little cities. They're floating cities now. I mean,
now the
Virgin...
only thing, I know this sounds mad, right? But I don't think I'd be able to relax if I was going on a cruise with a child. And even watching other people's children, if I didn't have my own there. Like, I think I'd be nervous. A nervous wreck that something would happen. They'd fall overboard or, like, are they safe places for children?
Oh, yeah. Listen, like, Sarah knows absolutely. So, like, creches and everything.
Yeah, it's so rare that anything like that would happen. And I'd love to actually see the stats compared to a normal holiday, but I'd say it's much safer. One thing that I found going on a cruise with kids is the opposite, is how safe you feel, because they can wander off. You can go for dinner, especially when they're a bit older. Obviously, I'm not talking about toddlers, but like, they can go off, eat where they want, do what they want. You know, they're not going anywhere. You're not worried about them, like, that they're going to be gone somewhere. Mm. They're actually going to be on board. And a lot of the newer ships as well, you have like apps and tracking, you can see where they are, you know.
Sarah has her kids chipped as well.
She's right. She's dead right.
So I actually find them very safe from that point of view. But I mean, look, you're either going to be nervous or you're not.
But the kids, like, they do, I mean, I said, there's so much provided for them. It is actually a great place when adults. When I was on a few of the ones I did, I mean, the kids were, you would almost hardly know, they'd kind of separate areas. So it's done so well. And the one thing that's really important and comes always when you're talking to your cruise agent or your travel agent or whoever, just make sure you book, because there's so many ships that do different things. Virgin Voyages, the new one now, that is adult only. So there's no kids on that, right? So, I mean, if you wanted to leave the kids at home, Trina, and do that, you'd have a great time, because it's adult only. If you wanted a complete break, you know, with a friend of yours or the girls or whatever. The 28th of November, I was having a look there, right? 17 nights on the Scarlet Lady. I like the name as well. €1,429 for 17 nights. With a balcony, right? Now, that's with click and go. It's return flights from Dublin to Rome. And you do Rome, Barcelona, Malaga, Funchal, Madeira, beautiful, Santa Cruz, Tenerife, and Miami. And it's return flights from Dublin, checked in bag, 16 nights sailing, all dining at 20 eateries. There's only the 20 restaurants, Trina. I don't know, will you be okay with that? Essential drinks, you know, group fitness classes, keep you nice and trim, and entertainment. And there's one night in a hotel in Miami as well, after the cruise.
That so, like, seems very, very good.
So you see why cruising is... Isn't that, like... That's
just one of the new, like, a new ship. And what's great
about... the Virgin Voyages,
What's great about Virgin, they don't do the buffet thing. It's like all different restaurants.
Yeah, 20
speciality dining.
But it's all covered within the price.
Yeah.
So now we might get you to go on that one.
Jeez, I might be there. I might be there.
Seriously. The 28th... Now, I mean, that is... I mean, you know, seriously, 17 nights. Flights. into Rome out of Miami, one night in Miami, cracker deal. You know, I just thought to myself when I saw that, I'm like, oh gosh, you know, what am I doing in November? You know, that kind of way. Mm. That would be just stunning. And look at the places you're
going
to.
Sorry, would you be freezing though on a cruise that time of year?
Well, you look, you see, that's, this is all relative, of course, but not in Madeira you won't, right? And not in Tenerife or Miami. But it'll be crisp in Rome, I'd say, probably in November. But still, you're going to see a city. Rome is a city. It's not a sun destination. Yeah. Barcelona, great city. Malaga, fabulous city destination. Brilliant tapas there, even though you won't need tapas because you'll be eating so much of the 20 eateries on the ship. But Malaga is fabulous. You know, it's really like one of the great places. You can do loads there. But the cities are great for that, you know, for that weather, Sarah, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You have the beautiful Madeira, like the beautiful island of Madeira, Tenerife. So you go into warm weather then. So, yeah.
This is actually cruise week. I don't know, did we say that at the start? So there is more offers this week than there would normally be. And lots of maybe free upgrades or free flights or low booking deposits, all these kind of incentives to get people to book during cruise week. I saw some great deals next summer as well on Sun Princess, which I was on and I loved. Princess Cruises' newest ship, $12.29, including flights and your cruise for a weekend. That's next summer. There's some really good family deals. That Princess Cruise one was with Click and Go as well, actually. But Sunway has some really good family offers. They have October midterm break this year on Norwegian Escape. That's 10 nights for $9.99, including your flights, your baggage, your meals, everything per person. The midterm break in February, $6.19 on MSC World Europa, one of the newer MSC ships. So, like, that's the kind of prices with your food and your flights, your transfers, your baggage, all these things are included. So, like, such good value. Yeah. And you know, it's lovely as well for like multi-generational. So if you want to bring the grandparents or this kind of stuff for everybody on board.
Can I ask a quick question, Sarah, just in relation to, you know, getting travel insurance for going on a cruise? Is it more difficult because if something happens, you're on a ship, especially if you maybe have an existing health condition? Or
I mean, it's not seen as high risk at all.
Like
if you were going skiing now, that could be, you know, or if you were going ballooning, or if you were climbing Kilimanjaro or something like that. But no, cruising is not seen. I mean, look at the demo. It's not seen as a high risk at all.
You can add on a cruise connection cover, which is, it's a small fee. So you have your regular travel insurance and then this cruise connection you can add on. But that's really more for like if you miss a connection. So if you're booking your flights yourself and you're booking a cruise separately and then there's a delay and you miss the actual port.
Yeah.
But most people, and I would strongly advise most people to book a cruise with a cruise travel agency because there are a lot of moving parts from that point of view, from delays with flights. And also, like the cruise I went on this year at Easter, like the itinerary changed. There's so much congestion. You hear about all these issues with Santorini and, you know, people increasing prices, ports, congestion. So the itineraries change a lot. So if you book your flights into Genoa and all of a sudden you're not going to be there, which is what happened to us. The itineraries can change quite frequently. In fact, that's another tip that I would say to people. Don't necessarily book your cruise based on one destination. So a lot of people will say, oh, I'm booking Greece because of Santorini, for instance. That's a really popular...
You might not get there.
Well, there's a huge amount of, as we know, over-tourism and all sorts of issues there. So sometimes ports like that are cancelled. Also, sometimes ports are cancelled due to bad weather if there's winds. So, you know, I wouldn't base my whole cruise based on one destination.
Right, just be open to where you end up kind of thing.
And you might only end up, I mean, it's different if you want a general Greece itinerary and there's a few different places you want to see and that's fine. But like if there's, you know, strong winds or not enough winds or whatever, you know, when you arrive in late or you may only have 4 or 5 hours there. Like you're on your cruise for at least a week, so think about it before you book. I would say
from experience, I was on Azamara, which is a fabulous kind of boutique cruise style ship.
You could have a cruise ship called Trinamara.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, that would be sold out all season.
Oh my god! I could be the DJ on board and everything.
But some of them have their own studios, radio studios.
Well,
they have their
own
radio stations.
I'd finally have a listener.
So listen. We put you in touch with the
great.
You'd be brilliant to be. Imagine those parties, Azamara.
We could play a bit of Katrina and the Waves, the Water Boys.
I know, yeah.
Who else?
Listen, we were sailing around.
Wet.
From
sorry, I'll stop now.
No. Listen, keep going. It's great. I feel like I'm on the cruise now. Anyway, we went from Barcelona again, Ibiza, all around the Iberia coast, right, and it was finishing in Lisbon. Now this takes about 600 and something people. Azamara, famous, renowned, kind of for its really good food and wines, you know, all included. But when we got to Cadiz, the PA system on the cruise ship went out. This is the captain speaking, where, you know, we all need you to go to muster six, and, you know, that's like the same. So when that happened, we couldn't go anywhere because you can't sail without a PA system. So we were delayed until they found a part somewhere and they had to fly the part anyway. But all the people got 35% off what they'd paid because there was a lot of Americans on it and they missed their Lisbon flights and all that. Okay. So that's what you're talking about So they were kind of compensated for that and they had to rebook flights. You know, for us, I mean, I was delighted because I was, you know, we didn't mind. We were okay because we were staying in Lisbon for a few nights. So it was grand. But the PA system went, so there was no, you know, because in the morning you hear, good morning, everybody, now today, you know, la, 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 la. So, I mean, when I did this...
Hang on, does that wake you up in the morning? Like,
It's like 8:30 or something, isn't
good
it?
Luck.
It's just messages. It's like on a plane. There's kind of messages from the captain to tell you what's happening. And,
in
you
your
know,
cabin, you hear that?
Like, tonight we have Trina Mara, like, singing, her show is on. You know, like, tickets, there's only a few tickets left. No, but... Yeah,
only a few tickets
stuff.
Sold, you mean?
Yeah, and when I did the crossing, by the way, which is I sailed from Southampton to New York. Now, that was an incredible deal, right? Imagine flights from Dublin to Southampton, 8 nights on the Cunard, which is the Queen Mary, the QE2. And then it was a night in New York and your flight back from New York. It was $13.96 all in. And that was also, I think, with CNG. But on the way over, my friends, you were joking about old, you know, older demographic and stuff. And my friends were like, they'll all be about 100 on that, la, la, la. So I'm having dinner at Captain Wells has invited us. And it's 4 nights of like Dickie Bow. The lady beside me, Jean, was celebrating her 100th birthday. And I'm like,
so
Jean, she said, Ed, her husband was a surgeon in New Jersey. And she'd never flown in her life. This was her 100th crossing as well. She'd all her family, well healed. And going for lunch and everything after, she played bridge. Her assistant, Brenda, was 72. But like, she was, I said to my friends.
That's what happened in America. You have to keep on working until you die.
I tell you, she was great fun altogether. And I said to them, I said, I'm loving this cruise, G. And she said, Edward, it's not a cruise, it's a crossing. Because obviously you don't stop anywhere when you go across the Atlantic. But very Downton Abbey. But anyway, but that was amazing, right? But then Captain Wells announced, and we're just passing where we lost Titanic in 1912.
Oh, fabulous. Just like, what you want to hear,
Now, after about 6 days or 5 days on that, I mean, I was kind of chomping to get off. You know the word cabin fever? I was getting a bit, even though they've the biggest ballroom on the seas, the Queen Mary, QE2, Queen Mary 2, whatever, so there's two of them, isn't there? And then the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra were playing. Bill Bryson was giving a lecture. Gary Barlow had just sang on the way over on the other ship. You know, I got off in New York and flew home, but there was people doing a night or two in New York and sailing back again. Anyway, but it was just amazing. I mean, when you look at the price and the value of it, there's a jogging deck. There was 13 kennels upstairs. People had their dogs with them. You meet the world and his wife and these artists and stuff.
We're running a bit over time,
Sorry.
So we'll have to wrap up a little bit. Sarah, before we go, I want you to give us your top tips on cruising. You've done an article on your website there.
Yeah, well, funny now, that I couldn't handle that now at all, a transatlantic crossing for first 6 days. I'd lose my mind. And that's me who loves cruising.
But and you love travelling.
Sailing into Manhattan and seeing
the
Statue of Liberty.
That
was the best part. You know, like the Irish immigrants in Ellis Island. Like, that was the best part,
actually.
I loved that.
But for me, and I think for anybody who's thinking of booking a cruise, I would say book a cruise, probably the Med, where a 7-night cruise, typically you're off in port 6 out of 7 days. So you're only one full day at sea. You know, if you're afraid of swimming pools being crowded and things like that, which they can be, maybe not on the QE2, but on a lot of the bigger ships, they are really crowded on sea days. So at least when you're stopping in all the different ports, people are off the ship, it's much quieter. You can get off every day if you want. I would suggest maybe stay on board one of the days and just enjoy it. So I would say for your first time cruise, do something like that. Book a 7-day on and off, book a couple of excursions, explore other places on your own. You won't get that claustrophobic feeling or cabin fever or anything like that. So I'd say that's the first thing. Mentioned earlier about not picking a destination, but also the time of year is really, really important. So some of the big, big, fabulous new ships in July, August are just going to be full of kids. Now, I have two kids, you have kids.
Yeah,
like,
it's like any resort,
you know,
in
but
Spain.
I wouldn't want to be on them in July,
yeah,
August.
Yeah.
They're just too busy and too, for my personal taste, but like, that's not to say someone else doesn't love them, you know, obviously. So I'd say definitely, it's interesting what Ed likes, what I like, what you might like. It's like a hotel. Do you like a boutique hotel? Do you like an all-inclusive resort? So talk to a cruise agent, tell them the kind of holidays you like, and then they will match the cruise to that type of holiday for you.
Just one thing also that I was going to say, I did a really nice sort of a bit of Scandinavia, but there is, if you want to do something like the fjords, right? I mean, we're talking about, if you wanted to do Norway, the fjord, the famous Geringer, Alessund, Fram, Kiel, Copenhagen. That's a great way to do that, Sarah, as well. The MSC cruise, I was looking, the Norwegian fjords, like May to September next year, 8 nights, Trina, from, with the balcony, 1589. And I would take a balcony on that because, you know, mm-hmm. those fjords are, that's bucket list stuff. But again, that is your return flights from Dublin, one night in Copenhagen in a hotel, 7 nights cruising, you know, all your meals and stuff. And you can add a premium extra drinks package for 30 something a day if you want. But that, for me, like, that's a really, like, that's one now that I would love because that is kind of different. But the Norwegian fjords, cruising is just a great way because if you do that, driving and getting trains and all that kind of stuff, I mean, it costs you a fortune. And Norway's a very expensive country. But that's a great one, like the MSC Euribia, but to do the Norwegian fjords.
One other thing to say we haven't mentioned yet is river cruising is huge now. So if the idea of a massive big ocean ship kind of scares you or you don't want to be on the ocean, the river ships through Germany on the Danube, they look fabulous, some of them. Like, I was at an event, Riviera, the other night, Riviera Travel, and the prices are so good. Yeah. They've actually won best shore excursions over the ocean cruises as well, on river and ocean, over everyone. Amazing excursions to, like, wine tasting in France and, you know, really unusual
amazing.
Kind of
like
thing.
You can do in Porto, the Douro Valley, the wine region, the Danube, Nuremberg, all through Germany. We can actually do another thing on that.
Just before you go, in relation to picking a cabin, are there any recommendations?
I would always go with a balcony because if anyone gets on your nerves and if you want to get away from it all, you have a little balcony, have your little glass of wine and you have your book and you're sitting there. I just think it's, but you can do inside cabins
A lot of the newer ships, they've loads of balconies, so it's not like as expensive as you might think to upgrade, actually, a lot of the new ones. But I'd say if you're going like that on a med cruise where you're off 6 out of 7 days, you may not need one. If there's a big difference in price, it wouldn't be a deal breaker. If you're going on the Norwegian fjords or Caribbean or Transatlantic, you know, then I would book.
I think you said to me before in passing, Sarah, about some of them can be very close to, like, the restaurants, so you're hearing all the clinking of the cutlery and the stuff going all the time.
Midship is generally better firm if you're worried about, now you don't get seasick anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to be in an inside cabin near the engine. The ship is the ship, so, you know, that's why they're the cheapest prices, the inside cabin. So again, you know, you need to, if you have a good travel agent or a good cruise agent, they'll know.
They'll have the map and you'll be able to pick.
But that is a hugely important thing because if that does happen to you and you're not happy, I mean, obviously they will always try and move you if they're a good company, you know, the cruise is, if they're good, to try and keep you happy. But if it's full, it's full. So, you know, you'll be listening to the engine.
Seasickness, does it tend to happen?
It does, yeah. If the weather's bad, yeah.
Most people, if you book with a cruise agent, they won't steer you wrong. They'll give you a decent cabin.
Absolutely. But seasickness, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was booked on a little cruise. Now, it was a one-day thing from Dublin to Cork. MSC were doing a little one-day thing for media and Asia. And we got stuck in, it was the worst storm in 23 years to hit Cork. Remember this? We ended up having to sail to Amsterdam, right? We had our toothbrush with us. There was a lot of redecorating done that evening on the ship. Yeah, a lot, because the weather was horrendous.
Was it like The Exorcist?
It was worse. Yeah, it was like everyone was diving, like crashing, banging. It was really now. But that's going back. It must be about 10 years. But remember, it was the worst. It was all on the papers here. Yeah. But we ended up having to sail. It hit the south of England as well. The only place we could dock was Amsterdam.
Were they not expecting it?
And they had to fly us back. No. Apparently not. In that event, you get seasickness. If you're thrown around the place.
Generally, I've never felt, and I would be someone who would be get seasick, but not on cruise ships. But then again, I probably wouldn't go like in the Med in January, to be honest.
It's probably the only thing that'll make you sick would be the wine, probably the next morning.
I think you just lie flat then if you want. But from Bilbao, like the sailing that you do from Ireland, the great service we have now from Rosslare to Spain to Bilbao. I mean, that can be a little bit, you know, even when it gets ropey there, but they have all the tablets and stuff. But again, but that does happen. Yeah, it happens a lot. Like the Bay of Biscay can be a bit rough, you know, but still wouldn't put me off.
All right. Travel expert Sarah Slattery and edfintravels.com. Have a look at their websites and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a million, Trina.
Thanks, Trina.
Travel Saturday with Sarah and Ed with Destination Cleveland, Ohio. World-class experiences without the world-class ego. Unapologetic, unstoppable, unafraid. With direct flights from Dublin to Cleveland. Learn more at thisiscleveland.com.